We're back today again with more Dresden Files, this time book 15 in the series, Skin Game, which in some ways is a throwback story in that it's kind of just a story unto its own, with a lot of other elements involved over the whole series, but really it's kind of a flavor of the month story. And I love it. Your thoughts, Zach?
Well, to quote Hamilton, when you got skin in the game, you stay in the game. But you don't get to win unless you play in the game. So let's play.
Hello again. Thanks for joining us. This is Fantasy for the Ages, the show where father and son get together and talk about fantasy, science fiction, and other nerdy things we enjoy. Today, urban fantasy. Let's talk about Skin Game. This is a spoiler light episode. If you haven't read it yet, we're not going to ruin it for you. If you have read it, there's a lot of if you know, you know. But we may spoil things from before this book, so you really shouldn't watch this unless you have made it through the first 14 books, for sure. I mean, we're not going to talk a lot about those other ones, but you're on your own risk. I liked Skin Game. I mean, it's just a fun romp of an adventure here with some pretty high stakes. And of course, Harry Dresden getting himself stuck in circumstances that he'd rather not be in, but how do you get out of it? You know, thoughts?
Yeah, I liked it. There are some characters that are kind of new that are some of my favorite in this book, at least, that I think are really cool and interesting. There are some really cool things that happen for good guys and bad guys in a number of ways, especially when you're not entirely sure which guys are the good guys and the bad guys, even though you know which ones are the ones, you're just like, but who do I actually root for? And then there's at least one character that I feel like has done a real big disservice because it almost feels like they are cheapened only to realize that they're not, but the character that I knew as them that isn't cheapened isn't them, but is them. And it just...
Yeah, but that's a cool element to this story.
That one. The certain parts are cool elements. Other parts, lacking.
Now, I love the Nagloshi. I don't know if that's how you say it, but that character is just fantastic.
That's the one that I was talking about being the best new character. They're a great character for sure.
You said a great character. Nice. Because that's another element, you know, we do have a character. Goodman Gray.
But no, that's one of those where it like was an intentionally built in plot twist psych thing here and there, and maybe a little heavy handed in the actual reveal, but relatively well done to be put in there in the first place and kept subtle. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this book has to get played very close to the chest and gets played so close to the chest that is kept from the reader at times. And it's like, yeah. I know there's something here, but Harry said he can't tell anyone. And that included, we weren't shown it.
So, you know, in some ways, this story is like a little like an Ocean's 11. Okay. We're gathering this odd crew of people with different abilities, talents, all to pull off a heist. Mm-hmm. Harry is a reluctant participant. He's doing it because he's been ordered to do it as the Winter Knight by Queen Mab because of an arrangement, a deal kind of thing that's been made. But he therefore has to work under the orders of frickin' Nicodemus, who he despises, hates, has tried to kill.
Harry would love nothing more than to tell Nicodemus to go to hell. But Nicodemus says, yes, that's where we're going.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's something. And this is one that I'd like to say there are some things that happen in it that you don't see coming. It's not as easy to predict some of the twists and turns in this one.
There seemed to be a certain, like, hidden twist about a mystery around a third gate. And from the beginning, I was sitting here going, no, that one's obvious. Like, no, this other person is trying to stop you from starting, even though maybe they should be on the same team as your bad guy that you're working for. because this is what's planned. This is super obvious. If you had chosen to do something else, I would have been surprised.
What do you think about Murphy's role in this story?
I kind of feel bad for her.
Yeah.
But it also is very much a Murphy is in the role that she is in. Not even because she is super, super capable, though she is capable and capable of handling herself, and she does a good job throughout various things, but she is where she is, pure and simple, because even with all the changes that people have gone through and various things, Harry trusts her. Trusts her both as a person and in what she can bring to the table. And she is vocal about, and I will trust you. Anyone else that Harry maybe trusts has either been vocal about, I'm not sure I trust you, or he's not sure they should trust him. There's at least one person that he goes and visits on occasion in this book, kind of the only safe house in the city of Chicago. And he's in a position of like, you probably shouldn't trust me, and I feel bad about this. And we get a really great moment in that conversation where Harry has to get told, hey, it's not all about you, and you're cheapening everyone else by blaming yourself. Stop. You are so arrogant. And coming out of that person's mouth, it means a lot. I liked that scene.
Yeah, very good. There are some great tie-ins in this story to previous books. Things that you didn't realize they'd have such significance now. Some of it strikes me as things where Jim Butcher did some writing earlier where he left available plot hooks that he could tie into if he thought of it later. And now is the time he's using some of those. Others, it's more specific. He had something in mind like this and he'd set it up. This is just one of those books where I really appreciate past events impacting what we see fulfilled now.
Speaking of, there's the potential for a new character to be born of the efforts of previous engagements of characters that I felt like at the time the loss of was kind of a disservice to the story. I was like, I liked where this could go and was looking into it and then it was gone. But having this come out of it because of that is an interesting and cool new development to go with.
That was very ambiguously said.
But you knew what I was saying.
I knew what you were saying.
And anyone who read this, I think, knows what I was saying. It's spoiler light. I can't talk about that much, but I was intentional about some of my word choice.
Now, while much of this story takes place in a warehouse planning a heist, and then actually at a bank running the heist, and then through a portal in the bank at another location, truly fulfilling the heist.
Yeah.
The other key location is the Carpenter home.
Correct. Like I said, the only safe house in Chicago.
Right. And there's a number of key things that happen there. But hands down, best moment of the story happens outside the Carpenter home.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
Involves Butters. Yes. It's like, wow. When that moment happened, I'm practically going, yeah. Yeah. I love it. Yes. Beautiful.
It was really, really nice to see kind of that validation of something that Michael had been saying for so long. And I'm pretty sure like in the first book, we were introduced to Michael and the Knights of the Sword, basically being told the special
Knights
part.
Of the Cross.
Yes, sorry, the Knights of the Cross. But the special part of the Knights of the Cross are not the swords.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least not just the sword.
Yeah. Yeah.
And seeing that actualized is really cool.
Very cool. Very cool.
It also makes a good bit of sense to be like, oh, okay. Back in Ghost Story, when Jim Butcher said, we're going to make Butters more important. We're going to give him more than we already even were. And then we're going to keep building upon it. This here is like, this is why I was needing to get him more and more involved so that I could take him here.
Absolutely. All right. Anything else you want to say about Skin Game? Because we really can't talk about more of the various details without ruining it for those who haven't read it.
I did enjoy certain observers' roles and the choices that they made, or rather the choices they let other people make.
Okay.
Because, again, we've seen it before, people finagling, bending rules, and the amount of faith and trust put into Michael Carpenter What a good guy.
He's worthy. Again and again, he proves it.
He could lift Thor's hammer.
He could. Yes. All right. Thanks for watching, everybody. This is one of my favorite stories from the Dresden Files, but you know, coming right up behind it is book 16 and 17, and that's next level. We'll talk about those soon. But for now, thanks for watching. We'll talk to you next time.